Mary Kay has been a fixture, well, not just around here, but really around the world for well over 60 years, 63 years, actually. And now there's a new campaign, and there's sort of a little tweaking that's being done. Ryan Rogers has been the CEO now for about 3 years or so, and looks like getting ready to put his stamp on it. It's a new program called Beauty is More Beautiful Shared. Ryan Rogers joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
It's great to be with you.
It's always fascinating to talk to a third generation. Usually by the third generation, all the money's gone and nobody cares about the business. You seem to care a lot about this business.
I care deeply about this business, and I care deeply about my grandmother's incredible legacy.
Well, tell me about this latest, the Beauty is More Beautiful Shared.
Well, it is a global brand campaign, and we've never put more resources into a brand campaign than we have in this one. And like I said, it's global. We've tested the messaging with all different generations and in multiple different countries, had great success with our testing. And so we're just super excited to have it hit the world. First thing I saw on my phone this morning was one of our advertisements on TikTok.
So is it an advertising campaign? Are you actually changing the way things are done? Because I had seen that you had some ideas that you were trying to streamline this company and more technology and doing something to sort of get it ready to grow into the next decade or two.
Yeah, so our research has shown that we absolutely have what young people want in terms of community, a brand with a purpose, an entrepreneurial opportunity. They just aren't as aware of what Mary Kay is all about as we'd like for them to be. And so this really is a new campaign that is designed to attract the next generation to Mary Kay. But it also tested great with our existing folks and really all generations. But it really is targeted toward the younger generation.
You know, Mary Kay, you hear about, you know, empowering people stuff all the time. I don't know that it was ever more true than with Mary Kay, empowering women. I mean, going back 63 years ago, when your grandmother started this, this was giving women a chance to be a boss and to make some real money in an environment that was really tough for women to succeed or really be gainfully employed and be the primary breadwinner for a family.
Yeah, and, you know, women obviously have a lot more opportunities today than they did in 1963. But what we're finding is that people still want flexibility. They still want to engage in an opportunity on their schedule. And, you know, with the changes post-COVID into how we work, we have so many more e-commerce tools. We've learned how to do things virtually. So it's not just in-person face-to-face anymore. It really is a modern opportunity that appeals to a younger generation that's looking to make a little extra money with a side gig.
You know, I always thought of Mary Kay as sort of being leading edge. Since I heard a story, maybe 3 decades ago when people were just sort of clumsily working little Nokia phones and realized that maybe you could send a message over it. And you guys had embraced texting for sending orders within China. And your workforce was using technology before anybody else in the world, I think, was using it in that fashion.
Yeah, at one point, our business in China was entirely driven by mobile phones. All of the ordering, customer interactions, checking out, purchasing products, all online, all through a mobile phone in China. And you know, we're really kind of heading that way everywhere in the world now.
Yeah.
The devices in your hand are so powerful. Heard a great story about a woman that was traveling to one of our events in Nashville, and she got an order from a customer, but she was out of town. And so she was going to call her husband and tell her husband, this is the product. Here's where she lives. You got to go drop it off for me and all this stuff. And she goes, wait a second. I can just text her a link to my online shop. She can order it, and she'll have it in 24 hours. So that's the way our business works now.
So,
and she said her husband was the most happy person in that whole transaction.
I would imagine.
He didn't get involved.
I would imagine. And he has the fruits of her labor, too. So you used to deal with these sort of individual. The United States was did business one way. China obviously did business completely different way. You went well into Latin America and Mexico. Those were different markets. Is there a commonality now? Has sort of the global economy melded a lot of these things together, these disparate countries together?
We're getting to be more similar than different. And we've intentionally moved that way for efficiency reasons. And so people can work across international borders and feel like they already understand the systems and what's in place. So we're moving toward a more similar than different type model in terms of our business. But it really is, it's all being driven by social media, e-commerce, you know, mobile devices. And that's the technology that we're rolling out globally.
Because it seemed like Mary Kay started with really hands-on and facials and group meetings and that sort of thing. And I didn't really realize if that form of direct selling would carry over, you know, to the internet.
It still does. I mean, I would put our Mary Kay Salesforce as the best face-to-face sales organization in the world. We're just giving them additional tools to meet consumers where they are. I forget the exact number, but the vast majority of the next generation of consumers, they discover the beauty products they want to try online first. And so we have to be there to remain relevant.
With the distribution network you've got, and it's just thousands, as we've said, it's spread out all around the world, you really could sell anything. I mean, with that sort of a distribution, that is enviable that you could do that. So do you want to broaden out? Are there other products, other areas that you want to explore?
I mean, we really want to stay in our lane. We are the number one direct seller of skincare and color cosmetics in the world. And that's obviously always going to be our core. In some markets, we've dabbled into nutritional products, and we're going to be testing that in additional markets. But really, the nutritional products are still focused on beauty. They're considered right. Ancillary to their existing beauty routines.
So what's next? What's next for the brand? You have this campaign, which brings attention back to you again. But do you constantly have a new line of products coming out? Are you have the sort of the tried and true?
Oh, no. We've got some real exciting product news coming, but it's a secret right now.
What? It's just us.
Yeah, right. But no, we're going to continue to innovate and bring new products to the markets. And, you know, the beauty industry changes and is more dynamic now than it probably ever has been before in terms of trends and new product form factors. So we're constantly innovating and refreshing our portfolio to bring consumers what they want right now.
You've always been sort of contra, to my mind, sort of contra-cyclical, is that sometimes when the economy started slowing down, it seemed like you got more people into your sales force, people who wanted to earn some extra money or needed to supplement, or maybe the primary breadwinner lost a job or something like that, and that the workforce sort of swelled. Are you seeing any impact from what's going on in the economy right now? And it's a global slowdown that we're beginning to see.
Well, for the most part, though, consumers are in pretty good spot. I mean, obviously, they're dealing with inflation and higher gas prices and that sort of things. But if you look at the economic studies, they're in a much better position now than they were, say, going into the financial crisis.
Oh, boy.
But I think it'll take quite some time before you see that sort of, we always refer to it here as angst around the kitchen table. Where people are worried about their jobs or worried that they're not going to have enough money to send their kids to summer camp or whatever it may be. But we've looked at correlations between unemployment and our size of our sales force. And it's just, we really can't prove that there's a direct link between those two. But in times of crisis in the past, it hadn't hurt us. Yeah. I remember back during COVID when, I think it was March or April of 2020, and something like 12 million Americans lost their job in a month. We had a lot of people sign up to earn extra money doing Mary Kay. So,
and I would guess that a fair number of those stayed around, too.
A good number of them did, yes. Anyway. We've got a lot of success stories from our COVID generation, and a lot of them are younger people that are moving up the ranks using virtual appointments and doing their business online, like I said earlier, and they've totally adapted to this new way of working. We all have to adapt to the realities in the post-COVID world. Is things are different, you know, the tools we use, the way we communicate, even how we shop, it's different.
And it sounds like that's what you're doing for the company, for the brand, which is, like I say, 63 years old. Ryan Rogers, CEO of Mary Kay Incorporated, our guest today. It's always good to have you with us. Welcome back. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.